The first time I went to Lisbon, I didn't like it at all. Mind you, I was just 6 at the time, and what I remember most vividly is lots of rundown buildings, lots of garbage, and lots of dead octopus hanging in restaurant windows. Since then, I've been back a few times and I've completely changed my mind about Lisbon. These days, it's such a great city. It's beautiful. It's lively. The food is fantastic. And it's a place that's best explored on foot, which is just the way I like it. And that's why today we're going to let loose in Lisbon. Hello, I'm Uta Jonker, and I hope you're ready for a walk that, well, it's going to be a bit of a workout. You see, Lisbon is built on 7 hills. So anytime you start strolling here, there's going to be a certain amount of up and down. It's true, the locals have built in a couple of shortcuts. There are times you can find a quick way through a train station or take a funicular or an outdoor elevator. But the truth is that most of these slopes actually feel more gentle than they look. And maybe that's because there's always something intriguing to catch your eye as you walk along. Our starting point today is Rossio, which is one of the city's liveliest squares and is also the home to one of Lisbon's most beautiful pavements. You see, pattern pavements are something of a Lisbon trademark. You'll see them all around town, all sorts of different shapes and colours. The very first one of all, however, was this beautiful one in Rossio, a gorgeous black and white wave pattern that was introduced in 1849. There's something else really lovely to take a look at here too, and that's the Rossio train station. Now, this is one of those fabulously over-the-top 19th century railway buildings that I, for one, just can't get enough of. So in this one, you've got a facade that's dominated by 2 intertwined horseshoe-shaped portals. And they are fringed in turn with these carefully carved curlicues and then row upon row of arched windows. And each one of those has lots of decoration too. Think the sort of type of icing you'll find on a wedding cake, and that's what you're looking at. And now it's time to tackle our first hill. Now really, this one is not too steep. Although if you want to start things off easy, there is an alternative, and that's La Gloria, which is this cheery yellow funicular. The fun thing about La Gloria is way back when, you used to have the option. You could sit inside the funicular, or you could take a seat on the roof. You won't be surprised to learn that that's no longer an option. But really, the walk's not too steep, and if you do need to catch your breath afterwards, we can always make a stop in the pretty Miradouro de São Pedro de Alcântara. Now, Lisbon has plenty of strategically placed miradouros, or viewpoints, but what I particularly like about this one, and it's basically a garden terrace that looks across to St. George's Castle, is that it's sleepy during the day, but it really livens up at night when this is one of the vibrant neighbourhoods, so it's good to experience it both ways. Not far from here is the Church of São Rocco, and there's a couple of reasons we're going to take a look at this. The first is that it reminds me of Doctor Who's TARDIS. The thing that surprised everyone when they stepped inside the TARDIS was that it was bigger on the inside. São Rocco is just as surprising, but for a different reason. The exterior of the church is ultra plain, but step inside and you are going to be dazzled by the ornate interiors. We're talking alabaster and amethyst, gold and marble, and more lapis lazuli than you've ever seen in one place before. The highlight is the Chapel of St. John the Baptist, and this was actually built twice. It was first built in Rome so that the Pope could bless it, and then was disassembled, loaded onto ships, and sent to Lisbon to be placed in this church where it was reassembled. What I like about this church is it reminds us of a time when Portugal was one of the richest countries in the world. Now, more recently, up until a couple of decades ago, Portugal was still one of the poorest countries in Europe. And even today, its low cost of living is one of the things that makes it so popular with visitors. But in the 15th and the 16th centuries, Portugal ruled over a vast empire, its tentacles spreading as far afield as Africa and Asia and South America. Like other colonizers, of course, they ruthlessly plundered the wealth of their colonies, and much of it was sent back home and used to decorate palaces and churches like this one. There's another reason this church is so interesting historically, and that's because it is one of the few buildings that survived the worst day in Lisbon's history. That was the 1st of November 1755, when one of the largest earthquakes in history shook the city for 6 whole minutes. And it is hard to overstate how devastating this was. For a start, it happened on a Sunday when the churches were full of worshippers. And in those days, of course, services were conducted by candlelight. Heavy shaking, lots of candles. The result was a fire that raged out of control for 5 days. And if the earthquake and the fire weren't enough, that was followed by a 9-meter-high tsunami that wiped out pretty much everything that had been left standing in the flatter parts of town. It was a disaster. A third of the population dead, most of the buildings destroyed. But what it did do was launch a massive building program, and that's what created the streetscape that we love today. Okay, enough of the history for now. Now it's time for something to eat. We're going to pick up some custard tarts at one of the city's best bakeries, and there's plenty to see along the way. Because part of the joy of exploring Lisbon is that the streets of the city centre are so picturesque. They're all cobblestones and tall houses with pastel painted walls and tiles and terracotta roofs, and the bars and restaurants that spill out onto the streets. But the city's also worked at keeping itself lively. For the last decade or so, they've really been encouraging street artists. And as we walk along the Rua da Vinha, we're going to see some fabulous murals. There's an old guy stoking the fire on one of the corners that I particularly like. When we get to Rua do Loreto, we're going to turn left to Lago de Comus. And here, look for the Art Nouveau facade that marks Mantegiaria, which is this small bakery known throughout the city for its sweet, flaky custard tarts. The trick is to eat them while they're still piping hot. That is when they taste the best. From here, we're going to take a bit of a wander through Chiado, which is one of my favourite districts. It's packed with interesting shops and bars and restaurants. We're heading sort of in a northeasterly direction towards the Convento do Carmo. And this is fabulous because it was almost totally destroyed in the earthquake, but they didn't rebuild it. So it's got these roofless Gothic arches that stretch up into the sky. Really atmospheric. Virtually next door is the Elevador de Santa Justa, and this grand electric lift was inaugurated more than 100 years ago, around the same time as the city's funiculars, and it was an instant hit. The day it opened in 1902, 3,000 people bought tickets to ride the elevator. From here, we're going to head west past more gorgeous old buildings to Lisbon's most ancient neighbourhood. It's called Alfama, and we know that people were living here as far back as the 5th century, but the look and feel of the place dates back 1300 years to when the Moors were in charge. This area largely survived the earthquake that flattened much of the city, and its labyrinthine streets are like nowhere else in town. This place has a real village feel. All compact houses and neighbourhood grocers and laundry hanging in the streets. It's a really magical place. We're going to make our way uphill towards the castle, where there's another lookout and we can gaze out at the way we've just come. You're going to be pretty impressed at the distance we've travelled. So why don't we have a drink to celebrate? Head back down the hill and we'll finish up with drinks at one of Lisbon's rooftop bars, like those coloured pavements we saw earlier. The rooftop bars are something that's essentially Lisbon. We're right near the Hotel Mundial, which has a great rooftop views across to the castle and some really nice tapas that'll tide you over until dinner. Thank you for joining me today on this stroll through Lisbon. If you're in the mood for more virtual travel, you'll find the first two series of Walk the World wherever you download your favourite podcast. And there's also more stories to inspire your wanderlust on my website, utejunker.com.au. I look forward to catching you next time on Walk the World.